Oh, we're so grateful, our Father, for your mercy and your goodness that follow us all the days of our life. We're so grateful for the great plan of redemption that provides multitude of benefits and blessings from the hand of the Lord himself, from you, our Father. Thank you. Help us to digest, to see clearly, in Jesus' mighty name, the word of truth today. Amen, amen.
Amen.
Well, we've been talking about redemption. It's our third week. Did y'all figure that out? Huh?
Yeah.
I'm from Auburndale. Huh's in. Redemption is to ransom. It's to pay the price to set someone free. The classic example that's given is of a slave lady whose daughter was being sold to another plantation, and she would never see that daughter again. And she was there at the auction where her daughter was being auctioned off, and the process of that is absolutely gross. Gross. It should never have happened. Thank God that he's worked in our people. Well, she began to cry out loud, Mama did, began to holler. And when she did, one of the buyers bought the girl and gave her back to her mother. She redeemed her. She ransomed her. She paid the price to set the girl free and return her to her mother. Of course, that just means she would go back to the plantation where her mother worked, which was maybe the best scenario of its day. When someone steals your $1,000 dog out of the backyard, they send you a note for $5,000. You can have your dog back. They want you to ransom or redeem your dog. When your dog is picked up by animal control, I don't know the modern rules, but before, they wouldn't give it back to you if your dog's chipped. If they know it belongs to you, they will call you. You're going to have to go pay the price. You're going to have to redeem it to bring that dog home. To redeem is to pay the price. Jesus redeemed you. He ransomed you by carrying your sin, by paying the price. And on the price of redemption is remittance and complete removal of sin. No record. You know, sometimes in criminal cases, because of the age of the assailant, the record is sealed, so it's not available. Well, God's record's not sealed. It's gone.
Amen.
You know that old song? You don't know that old song. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I will live eternally. Praise God. My sins are G-O-N-E, gone. The early music that deviated from the hymnal was not grand or glorious, but did impact. It did carry a message, and that's why I still remember it, I guess. Your sins are remitted, blotted out. The scripture uses the words put away, canceled. It said John the Baptist came to preach remission of sins, repentance and remission of sins. Now, he wasn't remitting sins because only the cross does that. And that's the purpose I want you to give today. It is the work of the cross that redeems, that pays the price for your freedom, to set you free. And then your sins are blotted out and you're reconciled. When you're reconciled, you're united with God and you have peace. You know, in a marriage situation where they bring in a counselor to tell the wife to do this, the husband this, and try to get them, they're trying to reconcile. It's only through the cross that you can be reconciled, that you can be at peace with God. It's through what Jesus has done that you're reconciled, that you're united with him. That's why it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ. In Christ is your unity with God through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you are the righteousness of God, which means you're fully acceptable to God. You know, when I went to my mother's, I could go through the front door, I could go through the back door. My brother went through the window one day. Don't tell him I told you. He lost his key, and he called me, and I said, well, I'll bring my key. I'll be there. It takes me about 20 minutes. And he called back and said, never mind. He went through the window. He said, I just did it like I used to do it. I said, don't say another word. I don't want to know anything. I'm the older. He's quite a bit younger. Fully acceptable righteousness. You know, it's easy to get through the old jealousy windows. You knew that, right? You didn't need to know that. And then you become a new creature. You have eternal life. Eternal life doesn't mean to live forever. It means you have a new spirit. The old man is gone. The new spirit has come. Eternal life is have the nature of the eternal one. You have God's nature. Now God's nature is going to lead you to right living. Right standing is righteousness, and it leads you to right living. It's not just that you're righteous and you can do anything you want to. You're righteous. Your record's been remitted, blotted out. You're a new creature. You have God's life. And now you're going to live right. That's holiness. Well, there is in the scripture seven what they're called redemptive names. Names that express exactly what's provided to you through redemption. Now, if somebody brought you a big basket, the first thing you'd want to know is what's in it. You'd want to go through it. And these names tell you what was in the plan of redemption, what comes to you, what belongs to you because the blood was shed. Everything that was shed so that you could be benefited, you could be rescued, redeemed, sins remitted, you could be in God's kingdom, you could be a new creature, recreated. And there is, from the path from now till this day to glory, multitude of blessings. Now that's important because if you were part of a denominational church, you get saved by believing Jesus was on the cross and you hang in there and do the best you can till you die. That's what I thought. Nobody told me it was a glorious road to heaven. And there are many things on it. And the first lesson I taught on healing was by constraint. They asked me to teach, and they said, no, you have to teach this lesson. And it was on healing, and I didn't know if God healed today or not. And I said, she said, just give them the basics. I said, like what? I know you go to the cross. I didn't know hardly anything about the resurrection. Without the resurrection, the cross was futile. And when you read the book of Acts, it talks about death and resurrection. Consistently, death and resurrection. And the Pharisees didn't care that he died. They killed him. It was the resurrection and the fact that the disciples were going around preaching resurrection that they so objected to. They didn't want to hear that. So don't preach in his name. Don't preach he's alive. Death and resurrection. And in the fullness of that pathway, when you come into the kingdom, you confess him as Lord, you're confessing him as resurrected Lord. And when you confess him as resurrected Lord, you are headed on the path to glory. And on that path is a lot of blessings and benefits. Now, we covered that. That's all review last week. There are seven redemptive names which explain the multitude of benefits that belong to you as a Christian, as one who's been resurrected, as one who's believed in the resurrected Lord, as one who's on his way to heaven. Now, you don't just have to hang in here, and if you hang in here, eventually you get to go to heaven when you die. It's a road loaded with blessing that you walk into his glorious presence. Now, before Mother died, I had a vision, the only vision I've ever had that I can remember. And I saw Mother was down to about 60 pounds, and she didn't get out of bed anymore. But I saw her walking, and somebody was helping her. And I saw the gates. The scripture calls them gates. I wouldn't call them gates. That's the biggest doors I've ever seen in my life. And they just go, multitude of stories. And when that gate opened, the colors behind that, all yellow and gold, and in the far right-hand corner was a gold that was so vivid it glistened in your face. Now, the Lord kept saying to me, what about those doors? I mean, for weeks. After Mother died, I said, what about those doors? Well, I don't know. I said, what about the doors, Lord? And then one day it came to me by the Spirit, there's no knobs on them. There's no way to open them from the outside. It's Almighty God and the angels of heaven that opened those doors for my mother. I saw them open wide. I saw her approaching with someone helping her in. Great, great day for my mother. To be healed and whole, finally. She didn't believe in healing. And when somebody doesn't believe in healing and you can't convince them of healing, then you hold their hand. Listen to me. It's our privilege to help somebody into God's presence. And so that's what we did. Well, the doors opened automatically. They saw Mama coming. And they opened up. Now, Mama lived to be 83, and she didn't know there were any blessings on the road to heaven. The blessings on the road to heaven, the seven redemptive names, are so graphically expressed in the 23rd Psalm. And that's why I always go there, and I've done this lesson many, many times, but not exactly this way. Jehovah Raya, it's on your sheet, is the Lord my shepherd. That's the first blessing that comes to you as a new creature, as one whose sins have been remitted, as one who's now acceptable to God, who's now righteous, that you have a shepherd. Now, as the Lord is a good shepherd, the scripture calls him the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, which means the head, and the great shepherd. Hebrews 13 calls him the great shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He gives his life. So he is a shepherd because he gave his life. It was his death and resurrection and your acceptance of that that provided for you his shepherdship. Now, if you read the next verse, you'll see what happened. He that's a hireling. In other words, the shepherd's going on to do something and he leaves an employee to care for the sheep. He that's a hireling, not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not. See, you belong to God. You're sheep of his pasture. Sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep. He's not into danger. He's not into helping. He's out of there. And the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling flees because he's hireling and cares not for the sheep. That word care in the original language means it matters. The sheep don't matter to the hireling. They had a job. They needed a job. They took a job. And the wolf came and they left. Now, sheep are very delicate creatures. All we like sheep, we are all compared to sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray, Isaiah 53:6. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. All we like sheep have gone astray. But the fact that we can come back to God is through the death and resurrection, through the shed blood, because he gave his life for the sheep. So the shepherd cares. That's the point. Well, the first thing that you get as a redeemed man or woman of God is you matter. Is that amazing? He said the hireling said you didn't matter to the sheep, didn't matter to him. Now the shepherd, this guy was a new shepherd, and I read about shepherds because the scripture says a lot about sheep and shepherds. He was a new shepherd and he did what he was supposed to do for the sheep during the day. In the winter months, the sheep are next to the barn. In the summer months, in the spring, they walk them to the top of the mountain, which is called the tableland. When the scripture in Isaiah 50 talks about the tableland, it's not talking about a dining room table with chairs. It's talking about the pasture at the top of the mountain, the tableland. And in the spring, they lead them up to the tableland, to the top of the mountain. But this was wintertime, and the sheep were in the pasture next to the barn. And he heard some noises, but he didn't get up. And he got up the next morning, and an animal had come, and sheep are easily frightened. And the sheep had run across the pasture. Sheep have a head sheep, one they follow. Past the one that saw the danger, the others are just running. They don't have a clue what was going on. And the sheep that were carrying lambs that were about to give birth had aborted, and they were all over the pasture. That's how delicate they are. That's why when there's someone on the inside, someone on the inside working on the outside, when Jesus is in you and he cares. So this shepherd, he said he didn't know. So he loaded his shotgun and he kept it by his bed and he slept in his blue jeans. And he said he heard any noise. He leaped up, ran out to see what was going on to protect the sheep because he had lost a good number that the night or two before. And he said he found out all he had to do was go out and lean on the fence post. And there was a great calm. His presence, Jehovah Shammah. You have a God who cares, who's always present. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. That means Christ in you. Jehovah Shammah is somewhere. It's on the back, number 5. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. He said, I will never leave you. He's always with you. And he's not only with you or beside you, he's in you. He's resident in you. You have, as a redeemed child of God, you have a shepherd who cares for you, who's watching over you, who's tending to your safety, who's seeing what you need, who's providing what you need because he's Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides, who never leaves you. Now it says in John 14:17, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but he dwells in you, shall be with you and dwells in you. Jehovah Shammah is the one who's always present, always there. You remember, Hebrews says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Never is a big word. We use it all the time. We don't mean, I would never say that. Mm-hmm. You better be careful what you say because you'll make yourself a liar. That's what happens. You have his constant presence. And he said, even if you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, I read a lot about shepherd and sheep. And there's actually a valley called the shadow of death. There is a ledge that if they're moving the sheep, they have to run them, they take them across this narrow ledge. And if they let them casually walk the ledge, a lot of them fall off the edge. So what the shepherd does is hit the rod and run them across that ledge as fast as they can go. He said, you lose less if they're running, and you'll lose less if you're running with God. You got that right. This is a trap, by the way. Know you not, you're the temple of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, when you were carrying a child, you were aware of the child's presence in you. You should be as aware, man or woman, of the presence of the Holy Ghost in you. He's in you. And he is not like Santa Claus, watching and making a list, checking it twice, going to find out who's naughty or nice. He's in you to work in you, to help you, to care for you, to sustain you. Santa Claus is, you know about Santa Claus, right? Everybody knows about Santa Claus. He's got his paper out and his pen, and he's just, I saw that. He's not helping for you. He's not remitting any sin. He's not caring for you. He's not even going to reward you because he saw what you just did. And that's the opposite of Almighty God. Almighty God said, you matter to me. I care for you. The hireling, he didn't care. He saw the wolf, he left. When they move the sheep from the winter into the spring up to the table land, thou preparest a table. You prepare a table land. They send a team up, and this fellow's children had been so well trained, and he didn't say how old they were, but they go up the path all the way to the table land because there are certain plants and vegetation that would harm the sheep, and so they weed all those out. They clear the path. They make sure that the sheep can get there safely. And then it says, over on number two, I shall not want. Jehovah Jireh, the God who always provides. They're protecting the sheep. And there says the verse, look at three, Jehovah Shalom. He makes me lie down in green pastures. I love that. He makes me. Did you get that? He makes me. He said, I care for you, and it's a good time for you to sit down. Sheep do not lie down. I'll get back to the top of the tableland. Sheep do not lie down if they're afraid, if there's a sense of predators. They don't lie down if there's rivalry, and there's a big rivalry in the sheep. They won't lie down if they're hungry. And they don't lie down if there's bugs or pests. They get this little bug in their nose. And they won't lie down. But when God makes you lie down, he says, I've provided for you. It's okay, sit down. It's okay, relax, I'm here. I'm the one who provides. I'm the one who doesn't leave you. I see your dilemma. It's okay, lie down. Green pastures. They're not lying in the woods and the weeds. Well, it says still water. That's water that's not moving, and sheep are so easily overbalanced. If the water has any movement at all, they will not drink from it. So the team that goes up and clears the weeds dams up all the water paths so that there is a section in that water, whether it's a river or a whatever, so that there's a section where the sheep can drink and the water's not moving. See? Do you see? You're on your way to heaven, and God said, I'll dam up the obstacles that come against you. I'll dam them up. That's amazing, isn't it? All of this is provided by the blood of Jesus. Look at number 3. Being justified. The way to remember justified is by the acronym, just as if I'd never sinned. How are you made just as if you never sinned? By the blood that was shed. The price of redemption was paid. We have peace with God. You have peace with God. You have peace in your life because you've been justified, because your sins have been remitted, because you have the constant presence of God and you have the leadership of God. Do you know the angels are part of that team that clears your path? What does the 91st Psalm say? See, we're far afield from you get saved and you get to go to heaven when you die. Well, that's true. It's a very shallow truth. You know, somebody gives you, if you ask for a recipe and they give you a recipe and they don't, they say, well, it's regular flour and sugar and a couple and then you dump and all and you can't do it. Can you do that? I can't. I got to have some numbers. I got to have some things written down. I went up to, Wayne's mama made the best pound cake on the face of the earth, and as she was fading away, we knew she's going to go to home to glory. Those gates are going to fling wide for her. I went up to watch her bake the pound cake. I found out she's baking it. Now, she's a farm wife. And she threw this in. First thing I noticed, she didn't measure anything. She threw it in. And then she stirred it up. And then she threw in something else. And then she put her hand in it like this and went, ah, it needs another egg. So I said, being a smart person, how long is this going to be in the oven? When is this going to be ready to eat? And she told me, and I said, I'll be back. There's no use me standing there. But see, if I stand in the Word, there's someone on the inside to teach me that Word, to show me God cares about you. He said, if you, being a father, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall the Father give good gifts? And it's not that He waits till you get to heaven to give you those good gifts. He says, every hair of your head is numbered. Some of you are not a challenge, by the way. Every hair of your head is numbered. And He's leading you down that path. He's working in you while you're alive, not just after you died. Don't wait till you died to see if God has anything for you, if you're up for any reward. That's like waiting for Santa Claus at Christmas time to see if you get anything, if you were good enough to get any presents. And children never do. They would never suspect that they wouldn't get anything because of their behavior. They would never even think of that. And they make you a list. I get tired of shopping before I get started. I'm finished already. Do you know God is never tired of you? He said, I'm still here. Jehovah Shammah, the one who's always present. You know what He said to the disciples when He told them to go into all the world and teach nations? He said, I'll be with you always. I'll be here. If you don't sense God's presence, guess who moved? It wasn't God. It was you. And I've been there. First thing I do, my body's under stress. I don't know if you know, but older bodies stress out quicker than younger bodies. It's just not even a hint. That's just the truth. I take up my scripture book and turn to the section on healing. There's about 5 pages of healing scriptures. And I read a page. Or maybe I get stuck on one scripture and I read it over and over and over and over and over again. Just keep reading it, keep reading it, keep reading it. I'm planting. It says, receive the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. That's your mind that's disturbed and because of circumstances, maybe because of pain, or maybe because of lack of finances, maybe because of family rivalry or a nosy neighbor. And on the inside, know you not you're the temple of the Holy Ghost? And God said, don't you know? I said, you matter. There's an old song, it's not exactly scriptural, but the first line is, it's not an easy road, we're traveling to glory. They didn't know the Lord was their shepherd. All I have to do is hear and obey. So don't worry about anything. Don't. That's the key word in that phrase. Don't. Don't worry about anything, but everything. How long much is everything? By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Casting every care upon him. Marvelous song that sings that scripture. Casting every care upon him. When you cast it, you throw it. It's not like fishing. You reel it out there and then you reel it back. It sinks to the bottom of the pond, and there's a big sign in that pond. You know what that sign says? No fishing. Because that's G-O-N-E. It's gone. There was a gentleman, a preacher, made a tragic mistake. He didn't say what it was. And he quit preaching. He quit ministering. And over time, his friends kept saying he was a fine preacher. And finally, one talked him into preaching at his church. And he said he pulled up in the parking lot of the church. And he started to get out and he heard a voice. But if it contradicts the word of the living God, then it's not God. It was not God speaking. The voice said to him, I can't believe you're going to preach after what you did. Now, does that sound like G-O-N-E? Gone. He was very repentant. He got back in the car. He said, I'll just go ahead and tell the preacher, I'm sorry to do this at the last minute. And he heard another voice, the soft voice of God from the cave of heaven that said, what was it you said you did? G-O-N-E. Why? Because he's a shepherd and he cares and he never leaves you. And he's not watching. He's working. You see that? He's working on your behalf. Now, I had eye surgery, and that was a mistake. And I knew it the morning I got up. I knew it was a mistake. And Wayne said, I'll call and cancel. And I thought, you don't cancel at the last minute. I just didn't have the heart to do that. And I missed God, and I've suffered ever since. Because I didn't follow. There's someone on the inside. He's not watching. He's giving you directions. These are reading glasses. I have several pair. It depends on what I'm doing. Have mercy. I say that quite regularly. I'm so sorry, God. I miss it. You know I miss it. I didn't do what you told me to do. I had a sense that I wasn't supposed to have this surgery. I knew. And all through November and December, I had the strongest eye pain you would ever imagine. It was like a sword was going in my eye. And they never had that happen before because I found out after several instances, I have an irregular body. Nobody ever does that. We don't know what that is. But God said, I will never leave you. And he's working to undo the damage that I caused by my carelessness. It was my fault. It wasn't even Wayne's fault. He said, I'll call him. I'll just tell him we're not coming. I said, oh, no, I can't do that. That doesn't seem right. I can't do that. Well, it would have been right. Now, look, he is Jehovah Ra. He is the shepherd who cares. All of these are because you're redeemed. All of these because now you're a child. And all of these are because now he dwells in you on the inside. Jehovah Shalom is the God of peace. Being justified, that's number three, we have peace. It doesn't say we will have it, we could have it, we should have it. Why don't we have it? It says we have it. And when I cast every care upon him, I'm not lost. And somebody asked me, what are you going to do? I said, oh, nothing. I gave that to the Lord. That's his problem. I don't even discuss it again. I'm not telling you about it. I only tell what I think will help you. I just said, oh, you know, I cast that on the Lord. I gave that to the Lord. It's his problem. He said, it says cast everything on because he cares for you. That doesn't mean he's concerned. It means he's your caretaker, and he's going to bring you to a solution. Yeah. Now, one day, my grandmother is buried in Winter Haven. She died in 85. And one day I had a whim. I told Wayne, you know what? I need to go to Granny's grave. Granny's not there, you understand. She was never there. So he called, and they said they'd mark it, and they did. We came. There was a big flag there, you could see. And I could remember sort of it was by this big oak, so I know. So they've marked it. That's Granny. So we went down there, and everything looked fine, and you needn't talk to Granny there. Don't go to the grave, talk to anybody. Talk to yourself at the house, because they are not at the grave. Mm-hmm. Now, if it comforts you to go stand there or to take flowers, why, go right ahead. But they're not there. You need to know that. They're not there. So down from Granny, about three graves down, was a grave that was collapsed. And I went down to see what happened here. A badly collapsed grave. And I looked at the sign on the grave and I said, Wayne, this is Aunt Ethel. Aunt Ethel. Somebody needs to fix Aunt Ethel. That's the truth. So we called somebody that knew her daughter that was still living, and I guess they fixed it. I didn't go back and check on it. But see, God said, if you depend on me, if you lean on me, Jesus can fix it. Yeah, 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 Jesus. He said, I'll fix it. Hallelujah. I'll fix that for you. I'll fix that. Is that amazing? Yes. All of this is on the road to glory. Yeah. The shepherd, Jehovah Rhea. The vast provision. Jehovah Jireh is first mentioned. That's the provision of the Lord. That's everything you need that comes to you because he's working on your behalf because you matter. See, what you want at a cemetery is not someone who writes a report. When you hire a yard man, you don't want to write a report and say your azaleas need to be trimmed back and the sprinkler's too close to the bird of paradise. It's going to damage your plant. You just don't want a report. Is that what you hired him for? God's not just giving you a report. He's working. He's working. And what do you want from the caretaker? You hired him. I don't have a house cleaner so she can come in and say there's more dust in the bedroom than usual. So let's fix it. I'm paying you to fix it. Jesus can fix it. Yeah, 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 Jesus. It's not an empty road. You're traveling to glory because many are the blessings on the way. And you're traveling that road with a shepherd. All of this is because of the blood at the cross. Everyone, and we've proved that with these scriptures. You can go home and read them. Now, Jehovah Shalom, Colossians 1:20, that's the God of peace. The God who says, you don't have to worry about anything. You give it to me, I will fix it. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, how does peace come to you? Because of the great plan of redemption. How does shepherdship come to you? Because of the great plan of redemption. Because of the shed blood, these seven blessings belong to you today. And they're on your pathway, and they're available to you through your faith anytime you need them. Now look at Jehovah Tsidkenu, which is the Lord, our righteousness. The righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all them that believe. Righteousness, that's being fully acceptable. You know, I have this thing about black and blue. Colors. And the other day, I had on blue pants. I did slacks. I thought they were black. But when I got out, I had on my black shirt with my blue slacks. Oh, I was horrified. It says nothing to do with you. You dress like you want to as long as you're decent. And I said to Wayne, oh, no! I've got on my blue pants I meant to put. I thought these were my black pants. I've got on my black shirt with my blue pants. This will never work. We were too far from home to turn back. If we had been going down the driveway or down my street, we'd have gone home. I'd have taken those blue slacks off because you don't wear blue slacks with a black shirt. And you don't wear black slacks with a blue shirt. Amen. You got that?
Yeah.
That's just my rule. It has nothing to do with your rule. Nothing to do whatsoever. So the other day, we were out somewhere, and I looked over at Wayne. I went, I said, Wayne, you've got on your blue slacks with that black shirt. And he very nicely said, and that's the way it will be today. God will never do that to you. He'll say, give me a few minutes. I'll fix it. I'm a shepherd. I'll fix it.
Yes, Lord,
you don't have to want for anything. I'll meet your need out of my riches and glory. It's all because of the blood. All of these seven things are blood bought and blood delivered. Yes. Now, Sid Kenny was righteousness. He made the last verse on your front page. He made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. You're righteous because Jesus carried your sin and died and was resurrected and Satan been defeated. Now, Satan's defeat is over here in number 6. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I know it teaches good, and I've heard it that way, and I don't mind they want to teach it that way. It's a table, and God prepares a table, and you and God are sitting at the table eating. That's not what this says. Okay, that's fine. If that helps you to see that truth, that's fine. This is the table land. This is the shepherd that cleared the pathway, made sure the water was still and all the weeds were gone, and they actually select a spot to pasture the sheep overnight because some places are more prone to predators, like a cliff or something. A predator would come over and jump on the sheep. And so they're very careful. And they're going up that path to the top of the tableland to provide the best pasture land in the spring. And all I have to do is follow. I'm getting to healing. Are y'all there?
Yeah.
Follow. I will follow Jesus anywhere, everywhere. I will follow on. Now look at thou preparest a table. In all these things you are more than conquerors. That's Jehovah Nissi, verse 6. In the present, we're talking about combating the enemy, combating the tension, combating the distress, combating the disease. It says, first of all, you're more than a conqueror through him that loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He loved you and he died for you and he made you a conqueror. And all of this pathway, it's not that when I get to heaven, it'll all be over. And finally, no, today. This is today. So I don't know how to conquer. I said, if any lack wisdom, let them go to God. That's James 1:5, I think. And I said, God, I don't know what to do. And then he says in 1 John 3:4, which is not on your sheet, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. You can conquer, you can have victory. It doesn't say you might have, you could have, I hope you have, cross your fingers, this could work out for you, you know. No, it said, if you follow. I'm here. I care for you. I'll lead you. I'll not forsake you. I'll dwell in you by the Spirit and guide you on the right path. I'll tell you what to do. It wouldn't make any sense that God that knows every hair on your head would neglect you. Now, Wayne's sweet mother lost all her hair before she died. Had nothing to do with anything except the doctor said sometimes that happens. It wasn't chemotherapy or any such thing. It just happened. I've never seen anybody as kind and as... She just didn't care. She said, well, I don't have any hair. And she went right on with life, and they took her to church. She's happy as a lark. Because she was walking with the shepherd. And he said, don't worry about anything. And she figured out how to do that. And I've seen men panic over a bald spot. Wayne's the only, he has two brothers. Wayne's the one with hair. We're grateful. However, if he should lose some hair, we're not worried about anything. Now, Jehovah Shammah is the one who walks with you through the valley. That's in number 5. The God who's always present. Number 6 is the God who prepares for you. And it says, thanks be unto God, which causes us to triumph. 3 words are used in the scripture. You can have victory, you can conquer, you can triumph. And you can do that because Colossians 2:15, having spoiled principalities and powers. In other words, when Jesus died, he defeated Satan. The principalities and powers were defeated. They have no power or authority over your life. You belong to God. And they've been defeated. And because they've been defeated, they cannot come. They may come against you, but they cannot come successfully against you. Because God said, I made you a conqueror. That's the one that wins. I gave you victory through your faith. You will triumph. You will win. See, every problem that comes my way, I tackle them with no, I'm the winner. It's me. I'm the winner. Well, how are you going to win? Well, I don't know. Do you trust him? Did you know the road to glory was loaded with blessings? I heard weeks ago when we first started on redemption, I heard in the spirit that the pathway to heaven has a multitude of blessings. I heard that. That's why I went in this direction. Now, here's the last one. Jehovah Rapha is the Lord our physician. Jehovah means that just means the self-existent one. Rapha, of course, is the healer. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. He sent his word and healed. He didn't say he sent his word and tried to heal. He sent his word and healed for a season, then he gave up. He sent his word. This is past tense. He sent his word and healed him. It's over. You're healed. So I don't look healed. A lot of days I don't look healed nor feel healed. I just get out my scripture book and I turn to the healing page. There's 5 pages of healing scriptures. And I go down page 1. I've done page 1 so much, I actually had to order me a new book. You see, you find what works for you and you work with it. The lady that said, what do you do when you're stressed out? She turns on her TV and watched the movie. I went, no, 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 no. Tom Cruise is not coming. He's not coming to help you. Is that all right if I holler at you? I just did. Surely he hath borne, lifted up, carried off, removed to a distance, the entire weight of our grief, sickness, weakness, distress, pain, and sorrow. That covers a lot of territory. He lifted up and carried away. That's what your garbage man does. What does he do with your garbage? Do you really care? I don't. We have less garbage service now than we've ever had in the county. I don't know if you figured that out. We're not in the city, we're in county, and we have less garbage service than we've ever had. But God is not going to slack up on you. If you turn it over to him, he will fix it. He will guide you. He cares for you. He knows the number of your heads. He's your father. He'll give to you. He'll walk with you, always present in you to lead you and with you. Now, when we cleaned out Mother's closet after Mother died, and I don't know why I'm thinking about Mother today. She's been gone a long time. Mother bought things, but she didn't ever wear them. It was kind of a mother thing. And there was a lot of shirts in there and slacks that had the original tag. She'd never worn them. Never worn them. This is not a list for observation. It's a list for use. It's to say, I know you're the shepherd and I need leadership. I know you're here because you said you would be here. I know you're going to lead me to green pasture and still waters. I know you're going to provide peace. That's peace. He restores the soul. That's peace. So I know you provide peace for me. And I know you said you'd fix my life. And he heals. Who his own self bare our sins, his body on tree, we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. It was the great plan of redemption that healed. It was a great plan of redemption that provided the shepherd. It was a great plan of redemption that gave you righteousness. It was a great plan of redemption that walked you to the tableland where you could have the best of all God offered. Now there was this shepherd told about this rogue sheep. Sheep always have a dominating sheep. And this sheep was not the dominating sheep, but he wanted to be the dominating sheep. You know how that goes? Do you know those people? So every night he would get a load of sheep, ladies usually, to follow him. And he had a place where he would sneak out the gate. And the shepherd would get there in the morning, count the sheep, and a good number of them were missing. And he'd go down the fence line and see, this is where they went. And they were on the ocean. And he'd go down to the beach and he'd gather them all up and bring them back and close up the fence the next day and the next day and the next day. The same scenario. Because this sheep had never learned the safety and protection of the sheepfold. And he was out on the beach where he would get hurt and bringing other people with him that would get hurt. Well, I won't tell you what happened to him because he earned it. Don't stray from the will and the word of God. Stay in the fold. Stay in the fold. There's healing here. There's healing in the word. This is the fold. There's healing in the word. There's righteousness in the word. There's triumph and victory in the word. Now there is. Today. It's today. I was letting it soak in. Is that all right? A tub, you know, they make for feet, soak your feet. Do you have one of those? Yes. That's what you have to do with the word. Oh, we thank you, our Father. We thank you, our Father. It's not an empty road that leads us to glory. It's a road of multitudinous benefits. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Thank you. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Thank you. Thank you. We're very grateful, our Father, for these attentive ears, for the deposit we believe you've made through your word and by your Spirit. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.